Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. It's the blame game for Democrats who are still wondering what happened Tuesday. CBS's Nancy Cordes is in Washington.
Across the country, Democrats are still trying to determine exactly what went wrong.
We shouldn't be unelectable in so many states across this nation.
We were running against a party led by an indicted criminal. My gosh, we should have been cleaning up. From president of the United States down to the local school board.
Some Democrats have theorized that Biden dropping out in July left Vice President Kamala Harris with little time to make her case.
It's a first with a woman at the helm. President-elect Donald Trump says his campaign co-chair, Susie Wiles, will serve as his White House chief of staff. Correspondent Robert Costa.
She is seen as someone who is soft-spoken but forceful. She has been through brutal political battles in Florida and nationally. And most importantly to Trump, the president-elect, she is someone he really trusts.
The Justice Department is looking into racist text messages that were sent to Black Americans across the country. The text told them they were selected for cotton picking from someone named Master Ben. David Williams lives in Atlanta and got one.
I replied back, well, you better tell Ben I'm not my ancestors. I whip and shoot back.
We've learned they came from TextNow, a provider that allows people to create phone numbers for free. Violence in Amsterdam against Israelis. The BBC's Chris Barrow explains.
The Israeli military says it's preparing to immediately deploy a rescue mission to the Netherlands after violence broke out following a Europa League match between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Ajax Amsterdam. Israel said Israeli supporters were attacked as they left the ground. Ahead of the match, city officials spoke of rising tensions in Amsterdam over the war in Gaza. Video is circulating of people chanting anti-Palestinian slogans, tearing down a Palestinian flag.
A fast-driven wildfire is just 5% contained in Ventura County, California. More than 10,000 people have been evacuated. CBS's Jonathan Bigliotti is there.
Dozens of homes have been destroyed and thousands of people under a mandatory evacuation worried about what they will return home to. Meanwhile, California's Governor Gavin Newsom has arrived to survey the damage.
Ventura County officials say 10 people have suffered injuries, mainly smoke inhalation. Well, you may not know his name, but if you ever had AOL, you knew and probably loved this.
You've got mail.
That voice was Elwood Edwards, who's died following a long illness. Back in 1989, a startup company called America Online paid him $200 to say that. Files done, welcome, and
goodbye.
Elwood Edwards was 74. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's some good news. Community Stories starts on November 12th. It'll air on WFHR on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense. Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy. That's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After signing a multi-picture deal with Lionsgate, Taylor Sheridan is turning out TV shows at an alarming rate, such as Tulsa King, Yellowstone, The Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, 1923, and Lioness. Lioness in particular just became the fourth biggest premiere on Paramount+. The show found its way into 3 million homes in the first 7 days of its release a couple weeks ago. The show stars Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Kelly, and is supposedly based on the CIA's actual Lioness program. If you like high-powered weapons, weaponry, military jargon, and lots of gunfire, this is the show for you. Warner Brothers Discovery is reporting that its streaming or direct-to-consumer service is booming as its theatrical business declines. The studio says it's gained over 7 million subscribers in the third quarter alone for this year, according to Screen Daily. This is the biggest gain ever for subscribers that has been reported since the launch of Max in 2020. Everyone is chasing Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear, gusty west winds of the overnight, lows of the mid-30s. For your Friday sunshine, the winds back down, highs in the mid-50s. A few clouds Friday night, partly sunny, lower 50s on Saturday, showers Saturday night. It's 39 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating yet again with Dan Schaefer. Lots of stuff to process yet. I hope you will join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up today. Todd Alba will be joining us after the 10:33 news. I listened to his show yesterday on the way back from Madison, and he shared a really poignant story that about his grandmother and not giving up.
Yes.
And sticking with it, even though people tell you that you can't.
Yeah.
And I just found it really inspirational. I wish I had said it. But Todd's going to come on.
Why is Jane talking about Todd's grandma?
But Todd's going to join us again after the 10:30 news to talk about that a little bit. I just found it very inspirational and very comforting.
Yeah, and that's what we need right now. We're all going through so much, and some more than others, some not at all, and that's understandable as well. And we've got to be here for each other, too.
Absolutely, and support each other. Yeah. And know that you are not alone.
Correct.
It might feel that way, but you're not.
You're not.
Next hour, things are going to be a little upside down, just trying to move some things around a little bit. On Thursdays, of course, we always do sports, either with J.R. Radcliffe or Paul Noonan. Mm-hmm. Paul Noonan from Acme Packing Company will be joining us at 11:06 to talk things sports, weather, and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:20 like we usually do. And then Joseph Pecky, political consultant, will be here for the last half hour of the show, again, to talk about, obviously, Tuesday's election and the results and what his takeaways are from that. If you are listening over the air right now, President Biden is going to be addressing the nation from the Rose Garden in just a little bit. When that happens over the air, you will hear President Biden's address to the nation. If you're watching on the stream, the show is going to continue as usual. Yeah. So it depends upon what you want to do. Again, President Biden expected to speak very shortly from the White House to address the nation after the Tuesday election. We will be carrying that live on air. Mm-hmm. But if you're watching in the stream, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the live stream, that's where we'll have the lottery ticket. No, I'm just kidding.
That's no, fine. There's no, we're not I'm giving sorry. Away money or anything like that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But again, if you ever want to check in, you want to share your feelings, you want to share your thoughts, please let us know. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I wanted to start off with Kamala Harris delivered her concession speech yesterday from Howard University, and I thought she did it with such grace.
Yes, of course.
So let's listen to clip number one from Vice President Harris yesterday, Calvin, from Howard University.
Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let me say, and I love you back. And I love you back. So let me say, my heart is full today. My heart is full today, full of gratitude for the trust you have placed in me, full of love for our country, and full of resolve. The outcome of this election is not what we wanted, not what we fought for, not what we voted for. But hear me when I say, the light of America's promise will always burn bright as long as we never give up and as long as we keep fighting.
Newsweek has the entire speech. If you want to read it, we will include that in the show notes. If you would like to see a transcript of Kamala Harris's concession speech yesterday. And again, I just think she delivered it with such grace and such warmth. And I think we can all take things away from that. And I think she makes a really good point in that this is still America. We are still Americans, all of us. And we still have a stake in this, probably more so now than ever.
Yes, we have bigger goals, and there's, I don't like using the word threats, but there is, we have to come up with a plan to overcome.
And to keep fighting and to keep looking forward. Let's play clip number two, Calvin, from Kamala Harris yesterday, delivering her concession speech, rather.
The outcome of this election is not what we wanted.
Play clip three. My apologies,
Calvin. Okay, play clip three. Wrong clip. Not a problem.
A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign. The fight for freedom, for opportunity, for fairness, and the dignity of all people. A fight for the ideals at the heart of our nation. The ideals that reflect America at our best. That is a fight I will never give up.
That's a fight that none of us should give up.
I agree. And Roger on the live stream says, Vice President Harris was gracious in defeat. May God bless her. Remind us all who wasn't gracious in defeat 4 years ago. And there's something to be said about a chunk of her speech having to be dedicated to the fact that she is, in fact, conceding and working with the new team and making sure there's a peaceful transition of power. That never had to be in speeches before.
No, it didn't.
And now it does. And she gets claps for it. And she should. But we that was a given.
That's a foundational part of America's American democracy is the peaceful transition of power.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, I find it remarkable now that all of the concerns about election interference and tabulating machines and flipping votes, now everything is ducky.
Yes.
Everything was perfect. There were no problems with this election because they got the results that they wanted.
Of course. Of course. In fact, they're using the results of this election. I've seen a couple of people on Twitter. That's right, Elon. I called it Twitter. They're using this year's election's results as a way to further prove that 2020 was stolen.
What?
I don't know. But that's where they live. That's where they live in a constant place of tumult and spiraling conspiracies. It's like, you got the victory. He won the popular vote this time. 1 out of 3 ain't bad, I guess. and he won the Electoral College. Take the victory and run with it. But no, they got to be like, well, let's look at 2020. No, we don't need to. So, that is how everything has changed now. Everything has changed. We have to talk about peaceful transfers of power as if it's a special thing. It's not. Well, it's what you do.
It is a special thing
now
in America.
Yeah.
But it has always been a special thing. Yeah. And that's what set us apart from everybody else.
Yes.
Dave from New Berlin texting in. Now, that is what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
Referring to Vice President Harris's concession speech yesterday. I'd bet 5 years' pay that Trump would not have done that. I think you're.
Because he didn't do it last time either.
No, he wouldn't have. There would have been nothing gracious about it if the results had gone a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been all about cheating and rigged machines and all of that. But again, they got the results that they wanted. And now everything worked just beautifully. Ron Johnson said that.
Yeah. Yep.
Tom from LA is on the line. Thank you for joining us, Tom.
Yeah, Jane. Hey, Greg. I'm just really sad for all Americans that they will not get the honor of having Kamala Harris as our president. And I think we really need to come to facts of something in this country. We probably have the best woman candidate for president, and she did not win. And I know I talked to people that even voted for Kamala that were women, white women, and they said, you know what, there's just still something about her I don't like.
Yeah.
And I think we really got to face this, and we got to face the fact that do we on the Democratic side keep on putting women up for candidates when apparently there's a woman problem in this country with white women and white men and how they feel about a woman being in power of the country.
Well, and I don't think it's just really? I don't think it's just white women and white men. I think it's a lot of men. Because I saw he's a Latino radio host, mm-hmm. and I believe he called into MSNBC last night, excuse me, and he said essentially Latino men did not vote for Kamala Harris because they do not think that's her place.
Yeah. I saw an interview with a woman, a black woman, who said she felt like that was not the job for a woman because you have to be manly to stand up to Vladimir Putin. And I think we need to keep running qualified, wonderful women on both sides of the aisle if they can do the job, and let America reckon with their own problem with women, because eventually it comes through. And she was a wonderfully qualified. I voted for her in the 2020 primary. That's how much I love Kamala. I'm on that train. But no, we need to keep running them, and America has to deal with their problem, because if we look at the numbers as they're coming out, even white women specifically, 69% of them voted for Donald Trump. That is over 20 points from 2020. So yes, Tom, you're right. There is a problem. We need to deal with it, but we most certainly need to keep putting qualified, patriotic women at the forefront to represent us with their ideas.
Calvin, real quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kamala Harris is an exceedingly qualified candidate, but I think optically, I think Gretchen Whitmer without the Biden baggage that Kamala has been stuck with could be a better candidate.
We will continue this conversation. Thank you, Tom. By the way, I see you still on the line. Thanks a lot for checking in and for listening, of course. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, we are waiting for President Biden to make an address from the White House today after the results of Tuesday's election. We will be taking that live on the air. So if you would like to hear President Biden's speech, he was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, obviously running a little bit behind, then continue listening on the air. We are going to continue on social media with the show as usual once President Biden takes to the stage. So you can always join us on the socials again on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. If you're just joining us right before the break, Kamala Harris made her concession speech yesterday, and we were playing a couple of those clips. And Tom from L.A. brought up the point about we seem to have a problem with strong women in this country and whether or not we are ever going to be able to elect a woman for president in the United States. And we have some comments on the live stream that I think are really relevant. Jake, formerly of the LP, says it's the young bros of all ethnicities. I've seen the ward by ward numbers for Wisconsin. If you look at the shift from 2020 to 2024, it's a good 10 to 20 points to Trump in campus wards. And I would attribute that to where they're getting their information from.
Yes.
Right? They're listening to Joe Rogan.
They're listening to a lot of podcasts. Honestly, they were listening to the podcast that he went on.
Yes.
He went on the popular podcast for those young, especially young men demographics. You know, Kamala went on Call Her Daddy, Call Me Daddy, or whatever it's called. I don't know what the kids listen to.
Yeah, it's called Call Me Daddy.
Yeah, I don't know. But he made a concerted effort to go on certain shows, and those certain shows affect the young men like that. And when their favorite podcasters are bringing them on and it seems like an endorsement, hey, that's my guy likes that guy, so that guy's my guy now. I mean, it's cool. And
but again, what is Joe Rogan's big claim to fame before he started this podcast? He was on a reality show, right?
Well, he's a stand-up comic. He's not just, I will say this. He did Fear Factor. He's a stand-up comic. He was on a successful TV show. I don't think those things matter anymore. It matters of what they're doing right now, because some of these people who have very popular podcasts have done nothing before this, but they have a voice and they have an audience. And Donald Trump is the only thing I'll ever give him is he is good at marketing himself.
Without a doubt.
So he went to these shows and went on there. And even though we got laughs out of it because he said dumb things like he always does, it made an effect on people, especially young men and those, you know, and who doesn't love thumbing their nose at authority more than young men?
Oh, absolutely. I guess I can see that appeal. But when I think about Joe Rogan eating bugs, isn't that what they did on your Fear Factor?
Yeah.
Right?
But it wasn't, I mean, he was the host. I mean, I'm not trying to defend Joe.
He didn't eat bugs.
He was just the guy saying.
Well, then, I've completely changed my entire opinion.
All right. All right. I'm just saying he took a job, and that doesn't, the point is now he has a job that has, he made $100 million off of this job. And I don't know if her going to other podcasts would have made a difference.
Well, and I've seen some criticisms that if she had gone Joe Rogan, she could have won. I don't necessarily see that correlation.
No.
Because for one thing, I don't think Joe Rogan would have handled that interview the same way he did with Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump could say whatever he wanted and he got no pushback from Rogan.
Yes, that is absolutely true. She would not, that podcast
would not have handled it the same.
It'd been 45 minutes versus 3 hours.
And like she discovered when she tried to talk to Bret Baier on Fox, I think he just would have talked all over her.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't see how that would have been a win.
No, no.
Roger, on the live stream, for the men who didn't vote for Vice President Harris or even Secretary Clinton in 2016, did you feel your masculinity was being threatened? I don't know that it's that so much, Roger. I think, and we talked about this months ago when Nikki Haley was still in the race. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, we had CNN or whoever on the street in the Carolinas talking to a man who said she doesn't have any balls.
Yeah.
So that's why I can't vote for her, because she ain't got no balls.
Well, I think what you're saying is actually confirming what Roger's saying. It's a threat to the masculinity. The moment a woman tries to step up and do a job, which we as a society, specifically in American society, view as a masculine job, these air quotes folks on the live stream are doing heavy lifting. We will turn and be like, ugh, that's my job.
It's my role.
My role. I make the money. I mow the lawn. I do the thing. And him saying she has no balls is a very aggressive way of saying, well, I'm the man, so that's my job. Like it's the idea of guys on social media saying, well, I could take Caitlin Clark in a basketball game anytime. No, you couldn't. You're not as good.
But they need to believe that.
They believe it.
They believe that.
That's the thing. The masculine spirit is so fragile.
Well, I was going to say, that seems kind of weak to me.
It's absolutely weak, Jane. We are a weak individuals. We need to confront that too. It's yeah. Ooh, opening up cans of worms.
Many, many cans of many worms. By the way, President Biden has now taken to the stage addressing the nation from the White House. I believe he's in the Rose Garden. If you would like to hear that, if you're watching on the live stream, you're not going to hear that. If you're on the stream and you would like to listen to President Biden's remarks, you can just jump on Civic Media on terrestrial radio and you will be able to hear it there.
Yeah.
Love to hear your comments. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The other thing I think is really disappointing, and we're coming up to the break. We got to go to the news in just a minute. I am disappointed in my sisters. And Cindy from Appleton said this on Monday, on Monday.
Yeah.
Or Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday.
It's all a blur.
It is kind of a blur that women sure don't like women or don't trust women.
America has a woman problem.
Yeah, we got problems.
Yeah.
Oh, we got problems, but we're going to stick together and we're going to fight them. The fight continues. It doesn't stop now. News is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. CBS News Brief. Correspondent Nancy Cordes has more on President Biden's first public comments since Vice President Harris lost the election Tuesday.
He wants to work on getting as many of his judicial nominees confirmed, because obviously once President Trump takes over, he's going to be pushing a very different slate of nominees.
President-elect Donald Trump announces who will serve as his White House chief of staff come January. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The transition team announced that Trump's 2024 campaign manager, Susie Wiles, will be named White House chief of staff. Wiles would be the first woman ever to hold that position.
Driven by powerful Santa Ana winds, CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is covering a nearly 21,000-acre wildfire in Southern California.
Wind gusts exceeding hurricane strength. The hillsides look like rivers of flames. Water drops not even hitting the ground. No home in the fire's path stood a chance.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
UW Women's Volleyball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Women's Volleyball team in Madison at the Fieldhouse against the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Badgers in third place in the Big Ten. College basketball, the Badgers men's team with a 79-67 win over Montana State. Head coach Greg Gard says the Badgers' next game is against the Appalachian State Mountaineers Sunday morning at 11.
Quick turnaround here for App State coming in on Sunday. Another good team. Different than what we've seen maybe for the last couple games, but a little bigger.
NBA, the Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz. Andre Jackson Jr. getting his first start, helping out on defense, Damian Lillard.
I thought he had a great game. Disruptor, energy, that's just the kind of player he is, and I think, you know, they felt his presence out there tonight.
The Bucks' Gary Trent Jr. only playing 8 minutes before dropping out in the first half.
Back spasms, yeah. I saw him running down the floor in the second quarter, and I turned and said, he's not running normal. I saw that.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jump start on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Pageant Ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear, gusty west winds in the overnight, lows in the mid-30s. For your Friday sunshine, the winds back down, highs in the mid-50s. A few clouds Friday night, partly sunny, lower 50s on Saturday, showers Saturday night. It's 39 at our studios.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night. So our friend and Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're turning things around a little bit next hour. Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company. We'll talk a little bit about sports. Things are not going well.
No.
For a couple of sports teams. Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine. We're going to wrap up the show next hour from 11:30 to 12 with Joseph Pecky, political consultant, with some more takeaways from the results of Tuesday's election. Right now, we are being joined by Tanya Atkinson with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Good morning, Tanya. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jay. Nice to see you.
Well, not the results that many of us were hoping for.
Yes.
After Tuesday.
So true.
I find it really interesting, Tanya, though, that there were protections put into place in some states protecting abortion and making abortion part of the state law, that women can get the health care they need. I think that passed in like 8 different states on Tuesday. And yet those states still went for Donald Trump.
Yes, yes, that is. We've been seeing that cross-voting, you know, across the country. And, you know, it's, you know, we've seen when abortion is on the ballot, abortion does win. And even in Florida, I understand, you know, they needed a 60% threshold, but the 57%,
yeah,
right, is still a very, it's very high number. So it's clear that the vast majority of Americans absolutely support abortion access, even if their own personal opinions might differ, understand the need for it to be accessible and safe. And it is definitely a question we're getting a lot. How are people voting for abortion access? And a candidate who has been clear, not only, you know, orchestrated the overturning of Roe, but clearly the agenda of Trump and his allies is to advance a national abortion ban.
How would that work, Tanya? If states have already enshrined this in their own constitution, is a federal ban going to override that?
Yes, a federal law would override state law.
What happened to states' rights? I thought it was all about sending it back to the states and states' rights. That was the entire argument that we heard after the overturn of when Dobbs fell.
Yeah, I can't speak for why they're using that messaging, but it's clear. I mean, they've put it in writing. They've already attempted, to introduce bans. And so it's very clear that there is an interest in a national abortion ban. They're advocating for a national abortion ban. And as well as if we look at Project 2025, contraception and IVF, a lot of the things that are just really about making our own basic healthcare decisions and our own bodily autonomy.
What are you hearing from people? Are you getting a lot of panicked phone calls?
We are. People are very concerned. I mean, you know, and they're concerned about a lot of things. They're concerned about what healthcare they might be able to access. That's absolutely a concern. Certainly concerned about, you know, abortion bans. And also, you know, people can, you know, see the writing on the wall. They are concerned about what contraceptives they might be able to access. I've had some personal conversations with people who have said that they remember their family, you know, want to, you know, have an IUD or another longer acting contraceptive, as a result of this election. So there is fear out there. And also, there is fear, in different communities because of the hate that was stoked during the election. The transgender individuals that I've spoken with, extremely concerned about their safety.
That's one thing I think that is important, Tanya, to encourage folks to continue to step up and defend our LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters, anyone who is marginalized.
Yeah.
I think it is even more incumbent on us now, more incumbent now than ever, to make sure that if we see someone mistreating someone, that we need to step up and say something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really would encourage your listeners just truly to check in on your friends. Just reach out and ask how they're doing. The impact of this election has been profound. And even I've been a little surprised, to be quite candid. I mean, about the about the just the incredible impact it's had on really people of all identities.
Tanya, one of the things for me is the Eric Hovde campaign towards the last month really used trans youth as a sounding board to get people scared and to get them on his side. And it made me so angry for so many different reasons. But now that the campaign is over, I guarantee you trans youth will not be anything they're worried about at this point. They use those young kids to scare voters with lies. And now because that purpose is done, the campaign's finished, they can just be like, all right, we're going to go on other things. And yet now these trans kids are exposed to so much more attention and possible hate and whatnot. And it breaks my heart and makes me so mad.
Yeah. Yes, same, really. And, you know, what those ads and that rhetoric does is it really gives tacit approval for people to really treat other people very differently, and perpetuate that hate and the misinformation, and these are kids.
They're kids.
Yeah. Tanya Atkinson is our guest. She's with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. There are going to be long-term ramifications from this election, certainly as far as women's reproductive health goes. I think all of our health is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, especially if they're going to follow through with what they said on getting rid of Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. But I think it's important that while we still have agency, we take advantage of that. And as you said, Tanya, self-care right now is really important. And I think we got to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and get back to work and stay focused is a valid argument. At the same time, I think there's nothing wrong with taking a break and going in a dark room and closing your eyes and getting away from it. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need to do to be good to yourself. Because I think it's a mistake not to feel the feelings that so many people are going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think it's to give yourself grace, whatever those feelings are, yeah, and to feel the feelings, to rest and recharge for the revolution. I mean, we still need each other and we still absolutely have to go forward. And in order to do that, we have to acknowledge how we're feeling and support each other. The fight isn't over, and those emotions can be fuel, and we can really push forward and make sure that we are, doing everything in our power, what we have control over, to advance, not just reproductive rights and health, right, but the full range of not just healthcare even, but those rights related to bodily autonomy, to people's quality of life. We have to work together to move those rights forward. And it's very clear the people of Wisconsin, time and again have made it very clear that they are supportive of abortion access. They want to make sure that abortion access is here in Wisconsin, that access to contraceptives are available. If the Affordable Care Act is overturned, then that is one way of getting at contraceptives, because right now they're covered under the Affordable Care Act. So it's really critical that we also think about what happened in Wisconsin. Gerrymandering was ended. 10 new progressive assembly representatives, 4 new progressive senators, state senators. So when the loss at the presidential level is so profound and so personal, it is hard to see also that Wisconsinites sent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin back, Representative Gwen Moore, Representative Mark Pocan, and as a result of ending gerrymandering, really set up our legislature for becoming a progressive legislature in 2026. So there is, and even in that, while it's still not a majority, there's certainly more opportunities there than there were before. Because of the end of gerrymandering, and because there's more champions in our legislative body, so those of us in Wisconsin have to sit in both places, and recognize that we have an opportunity and a responsibility to maximize what the people of Wisconsin did at the state level.
That's a really important point, Tanya. It really is. And as you said, and that's kind of what we tried to focus on yesterday in the days that I think I was in, certainly getting the results that I was not expecting. But we did have some victories on Tuesday. There were some good things that happened in Wisconsin in particular, as far as hopefully getting more actual representatives who are going to work across the aisle and get things done for their constituents, which is what I still believe most Wisconsinites want to see. They want to see things get done. Mm-hmm. They want to see some cooperation from both sides of the aisle. And this was not a complete, you know, we got everything we wanted, but it's a start, Tanya, right? It's a start.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you, Jane. I think that at our core, Wisconsinites do want our elected officials to work together in a very, you know, pragmatic way. I'm from here, as you probably can tell from my accent, you know, and
what accent? And I don't know what you mean.
I don't hear an accent at all, Tanya.
Oh yeah. It's my ma. So I really do think at our core, people want that. And I think that we've had a lot of messages coming at us these last, I don't know how many years, that really do seek to divide us. And I think as humans, you know, we have to figure out a way, which is hard sometimes. And from the elected official perspective, if we are going to secure reproductive rights, for example, they are going to have to work across the aisle. And, you know, we keep hearing about, put it on the ballot, right? Put it to the people. Well, in Wisconsin, we have to pass a piece of legislation through two consecutive legislative sessions before it can go on the ballot.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't know that. So we hear the rhetoric from politicians, we'll put it on the ballot. Well, in order to do that, it has to get through two legislative sessions. And that's the gold standard, is for the people of Wisconsin to say, yes, we want it in our constitution that we do indeed have bodily rights and autonomy.
But what you're saying is that's a long process.
It's a long process.
It's a long process. It's not like the next time when we go to the the polls in April. We're going back to the polls in April again. That's not going to show up there. That could be a several year process to even get that on the ballot.
Yes. Yes.
And that's one of the things, Tanya, we were talking about before we went on the show, is that the buildup of momentum and getting things done at the local level and making sure you pay attention to those local races. Who is your alderman? Who is your county board supervisor, your state senator, your assembly person? Those are the people you need to be getting to know and talking to and voting for, because yes, the president and the senator, those are all the sexy races that the 24-hour news outlets are covering. But these individuals in Madison and in your little towns and small towns, whatever, you got to know who they are, too, and get involved.
Yeah, Greg, I couldn't agree more. And I would add to your list judges.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
running for judge is also critical. And if we think about books being banned, that's school, you know, our school board races. Right. So so I agree, Greg, wholeheartedly. And that's where we have the most immediate impact on our lives, where we feel the policies at the local level.
There are still things we can all do.
Yes.
There are still things we can all watch. And there are still ways that we can support each other going forward. Tanya Atkinson with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, thank you so much for joining us. Tanya, we will talk again, I'm sure.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you all so much.
Stay with us, Todd Alba. When we return, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air. Greg Bach and Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're switching things around a little bit for this Thursday. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk sports. Things are not necessarily going so well. And then we'll have Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:20, get a little forecast. And Joe Zepecki, political consultant, joining us at 11:30 to wrap up the hour. Right now, though, we are joined by our friend and colleague, Todd Alba, coming to us from our headquarters in Madison. And Todd, I got your show yesterday as I was driving from Madison back home, and I was so impressed with the story that you shared about your mother. And there's a lot of folks feeling very discouraged and very upset and lost. And I wanted you to come on and share what you shared yesterday because I thought it was just so beautifully done.
Well, you're still very kind, Jane. I mean, it's very nice of you to say that. I appreciate it. I appreciate more the opportunity to share. Just my mom's going to go, I'm not that old. It's my grandma, but yes. It was.
Oh, your grandma. I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
Mrs. It's my mom's mother. It's mine.
Sorry about that.
No,
Mom Alba.
So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe I've talked a little bit about on your show. I've talked about my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, who passed away either 6-ish years ago at the age of 96. And she still had her mental faculties right up until the day that she died. She grew up in a small farm in southwest Wisconsin. I know we have called the caller from Blue River. That's where she was technically blue. The big unincorporated municipality of Blue River.
Blue River, Wisconsin.
Just below the Wisconsin River, where she was born. And my great grandfather was a very talented carpenter. I still have a piece of furniture that he built, but was from the old school. I mean, his parents immigrated from what now we know as Czechoslovakia, but back then they called it Bohemia. And he didn't believe that women should go get an education beyond eighth grade. So my grandmother left home at 13, moved into the larger municipality of Muscadet, which is about 1,000 people, and she rented an unheated attic and did the couple's laundry and cooked their meals for their kids at 13 so that she could finish high school. And then went on and got her bachelor's degree at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville by working her tail off, And then ended up starting out in a one-room schoolhouse at the same time working on a master's degree. And then ultimately became the president of, they called them county teachers colleges at the time in Wisconsin, is where people went to learn how to be a teacher. It was a two-year degree. And then she got her did her doctoral work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So she was a graduate in the master's program at UW and then did her doctoral work. She ended up, long story short, being the first woman to be a dean in Wisconsin at a public university, as she helped create the University of Wisconsin Richland, which unfortunately is now closed. And at that time, women could not even be on the board of regents, and they couldn't even be in the room other than the quote-unquote secretary taking the notes. And so she was a force of nature. She was a behemoth. She fit the stereotype. She was big-boned and loud.
Solid.
And
sturdy.
Stubborn like a mule. And if she believed in something, she could also be extraordinarily loving and compassionate and kind. But you did not want to get on the other side of what she thought was right. And she actually recruited at the time, I think it was late 60s, 70s, went to Milwaukee and recruited people of color to come to Richland Center because she said, we can give you a two-year associate degree, house you, and do it cheaper in Richland Center than you can in Milwaukee. And she got black people to come from Milwaukee to Richland Center to get their higher education at the time. And it also gave people Richland Center, which was 99.9% white, hey, we actually have an opportunity to have exposure and learn from people of different cultures and people of color. And but when she was doing this, getting it passed to have the two-year campus, she went down to the Board of Regents meeting in Madison, and she stood outside the door, and she looked at these people, and this was one of her, this is how she talked. She said, I have got to get into that meeting. And the guys in the room, the Board of Regents, they'd hear her voice, and they'd say, is that Marge Wallace?
Oh, no. Yep.
Well, send her in.
Ah!
And she literally, not by physical force, but just by pure sheer
will.
Determination, will, that's a good word, forced herself into this room and got them to approve the campus at Richland Center. And thus is how it began. And I thought of her and how much you would have wanted a woman to be president, I'm sure, because I know when Hillary ran, she was like, wouldn't it just be something if she got elected? And so I'm pretty confident in saying she would have wanted Vice President Harris to win. But I also know that if when it didn't happen, she would have looked me in the eyes and said, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yep.
And to not give up. And I think that's the message for everyone, is not give up. Jimmy Valvano in that great speech, dying of cancer, never give up. Never, ever give up.
Yes. Yes.
What a powerhouse she was. What a remarkable role model she was. And an inspiration, I think, for all of us. Yeah. We can all take something away from that. Look at the odds that she had to overcome. Did that completely fracture her relationship with her father?
No. In fact, when she became president of the teachers' college, he drove up there. She went and got him and took her to her office about 20 miles away off the farm. And he was not a man of emotion. And he cried. And he said, well, Margie, I was wrong.
There you go.
Seamen, you can do it.
There you go. Thank you so much for sharing that, Todd. For folks who are listening, I encourage you to go back and listen to Todd's show from yesterday. You will find it at civicmedia.us. Just click on all shows. Todd Allbaugh, catch him today coming up at noon. Thank you so very much, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Stay with us. News is next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition of the show, a board game of the week by our own Aaron Zommers and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.